Checking in again with Quincy Health Commissioner Ruth Jones for a update on the COVID-19 situation here in Quincy as we head into the winter and the holiday months. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, how are you, Joe?
Doing okay. Thanks for spending some time. Appreciate it.
Sure.
How are you holding up there in the health department these days?
Things are crazy. We're in another surge, obviously, the rest of the country is, and we're definitely seeing a spike in cases. Yesterday, we had a total of 28 cases, 18 of which were confirmed, 10 which are called probable, which the only difference between confirmed and probable are people that went and had antigen tests. So they come back as probable unless they get retested within 48 hours with a PCR test, and then they're considered confirmed. But if they don't get retested, if it was a positive probable, we still treat that as a positive case. So literally we're getting, we got 28 cases yesterday. So.
Okay. Now the state, since we last chatted, has kind of revised the way they judge risk, and Quincy is in the green, right?
Right. So the state changed. If you remember before, they had the map. And I believe in the map before, if you had more than 8 cases a day, and you had 100,000 population, which they did it with pretty much every city, whether you had 100,000 or not, it was eight cases, more than 8 cases per 100,000 gave you a designation as a red community, high risk. So that's changed a little bit. So now they look at the number of cases that you're getting, average cases per day, and they're also looking at the positivity rate. And so if you have less than 10 average cases per day in a community that's 100,000, which we're 50 to 100,000, which we're in that, so you have anywhere between 10 and 15 cases per day, you're in the green. If you have more than 10 cases a day or a positivity rate over 4%, one or the other, you're in the yellow. If you have both of those together, that puts you in the red, okay? We will probably, by tonight, end up in the yellow, I would assume, because of the fact that we'll have more than an average of 10 cases per day.
So do you think it's more accurate to judge it this way than it was in the past?
So I think it's more reflective of the population, and it takes into account the positivity rate. So yes, I think it is more accurate in that respect. However, I do think that people see green and get a false sense of, oh, we're okay, where we can still be getting a lot of cases. As you can see, you can still be getting a good portion of cases and having an uptick without going into the yellow or the red. So I think people need to know that, yes, this is more specific to the population, but being in the green doesn't mean letting your guard down.
Yeah, and it really doesn't take into account people coming in from outside the city, right? That could be in higher risk communities.
Exactly. And there are quite a few have been designated as the red around us. So I think people need to just be aware that no matter what color we're in, you still have to follow those guidelines. You need to wear a mask. You need to social distance. You still need to keep washing your hands. All the things that we've been doing, which I think people have gotten tired of doing. And so I think that's why partly we're seeing an uptick in cases. But those things are so important.
Yeah, there is a term, as you well know, pandemic fatigue, and I know you and your department are experiencing it, and I'm sure
on the other end of it, we're experiencing the COVID fatigue because of all the cases coming in. And when you look at this pandemic, this has been going on for close to a year. We're getting up, January will be a year that we've been doing this. And yes, it went down and things slowed down a bit, and then they ramped right back up again. So this is an ongoing, constant thing for us at the health department, but it should be an ongoing, constant thing for people to follow the guidelines, because we are by no means out of the woods. And now with the holidays coming up, it's so important to make sure that we're doing what we should be doing.
Yeah, can we talk a little bit about that? What you know, what are some of your recommendations for getting together over the holidays or not?
Yeah, well, and that's exactly it, Joe, not getting together over the holidays. If you're getting together with people that you live with on a normal basis, you're fine. If you live together and you're celebrating with the people that live in your household, you're fine. You know, the State Department of Public Health, as do we, recommend that you don't have other people come in that don't live with you in your household for Thanksgiving. Now, I know that's hard. That's very difficult. Holidays are a time that we always equate with everybody being together and families coming together. And we're, you know, our lives are so busy and crazy to begin with. It's a time that we can all enjoy each other and relax. Now's not the year for that. You know, I see these commercials and they're so poignant when they say, you know, if you want to be celebrating Thanksgiving with your family in the next coming years, don't celebrate Thanksgiving with your family, you know, outside family now. And that's really true. You know, people should be staying home for Thanksgiving and celebrating it within your household with the people that you live with. If you find that you just can't do that, you know, I understand that there are some, you know, people have elderly parents that live elsewhere. They don't want them alone on Thanksgiving. You know, try to think of other ways of doing this, doing it through a Zoom meeting and eating together, you know, over the computer, if that's a possibility. Delivering a meal to the door of your elder, you know, relative so that they at least have the meal and not quite the company, but will still have the meal. People that are insisting and still doing this, you really should be, if you're having people into your household that don't live with you, they should be wearing masks the entire time they're there, except they can take their mask off to eat. In that instance, you really should be sitting 6 feet apart from people who don't live in your household. And that's going to be pretty hard for people to do. And I don't think people are going to 100% or even 90% follow that, unfortunately. And so I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a spike in cases after Thanksgiving. And I think we're going to see a spike in cases after Christmas. I think it's just, we've seen a spike on every holiday afterwards. And these two holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving, are the holidays that we're indoors, where lots of families get together. And usually people have big celebrations. And I think, unfortunately, there are people who are probably listening to this now saying, yeah, right, I'm not going to do that. And that's unfortunate. You know, we're doing really well with our schools right now. We're not seeing transmission within the schools. We want to keep the kids in hybrid and doing well and be able to get some in-person education. Situations like this, if people just stop and think, you want your kids in school, this is one of the times that you might have to sacrifice what you normally do to keep everybody healthy so that your kids can stay in school. And I just want people to stop and think for a minute. We're not trying to run your lives to tell you what to do. We're trying to give you the information that will hopefully get us out of this safely, keep your kids in school, and prevent people from getting really ill.
Yeah, we're seeing, as you know, the long lines at the testing sites now ahead of Thanksgiving. So the governor's expressed concern that that means people are planning to travel. Exactly. But that's not a guarantee, right?
No. So let's say, you know, let's say I go get tested today. Let's say I'm a person that's planning on, you know, traveling to somebody else's house, even within the city, or traveling to another city or town, or even out of state, which you're not supposed to travel without going through the travel recommendations by the state. But let's say I'm going to a friend's house. I've decided I'm not going to stay home. I'm going to somebody else's house. So I go get tested today. And if I have a rapid antigen test, which aren't very reliable, or even a PCR, and I get my result as negative, say tomorrow or the next day, and then I go about my life, that doesn't mean I'm going to be negative when I go to that person's house on Thanksgiving. So it's a false sense. It's really a false sense of thinking that you're okay and it's okay to do this. And I think that's a dangerous thing, because people are going to be going to people's houses saying, well, I got tested last week and I'm negative, and not feel they have to wear a mask. There's not going to be social distancing. And we're going to see this explode after Thanksgiving. So I'm really making a plea to anybody listening to this, please stick with your own family, your household that you live with. If you have to feel that you have to have people in your home, you should be wearing masks. You should be social distancing. You should be taking those masks off only to eat. And once you're finished eating, the mask should go right back on.
And go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, but try not to have people in your house that don't live with you.
And I mean, weather permitting, would outdoors be better?
Outdoors is better because at least you have air circulating and you can space out more. I think it's probably, I mean, we don't know what the weather's going to be, but we know that temperatures have been getting a little bit cooler, obviously. But if you could do it outdoors, that's better than crowding all people indoors. Again, you still have to wear your mask and social distance. The two most important things that we've been harping on since the beginning still hold true as the best way to prevent the spread of this virus.
Yeah, it's important. I think, you know, the test is just that moment in time, right? It's not indicative of what you have done maybe yesterday or the next day.
Right. I could have a test today and the test says I'm negative, and then 2 days from now, I could have been infected or, you know, and test positive. So It is. It's just a point in time that tells you right now you're negative. Thanksgiving is some days away. And so a lot can happen between when you have a negative test and when Thanksgiving is here. And I think it's just a false sense of you know, I'm okay. I can do whatever I want now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. The only guarantee, it seems, is self-quarantining, right? Having just zero exposure to the outside world.
Exactly. And if you're someone that can get tested and then go stay home for 14 days and quarantine yourself and then go to somebody's house, you know, that's better than not doing that. Again, because you're not in touch with anybody. Hopefully that could spread the virus to you.
Yeah. Any indication as to where the transmission is now, Ruth, as opposed to where it was earlier in the year?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we're seeing different from the last surge, last March and April to now, is we're seeing a different age group. It's still holding to be the younger group. At one point it was, you know, 0 to 19, and then it's held pretty steady for 20 to 40 year olds. We're seeing lots of 20 year olds. 18-year-olds, we're seeing some school-age kids, but we're primarily seeing clusters of cases in households. Mom, dad, 3 kids, all positive. Whether they're doing something that is high risk and it's infecting the whole family at once, or one person gets infected because they live together, you know, they're not social distancing, and the entire house gets infected. And we are seeing large numbers of community spread, particularly in households, and particularly, you know, multiple cases, 4, 5, 6 people in a household. Now, the concerning part of that is, okay, it's community spread and it's in a household, but many of these people, many of these households have kids in several different schools. So it's a matter of picking, you know, getting the case, doing the investigation, finding out who the contacts are, what school are they in, notifying the school. It could be several different schools. It could be sports teams. It's an ongoing constant to try to keep these people home, quarantine, and from spreading it within the school system also.
Yeah, and I'm sort of straining the resources of your department. It's kind of like a whack-a-mole situation, you know, where one pops up, the other one goes.
Exactly what it is. Yeah, and it strains the resources of the Quincy Public School System, too, because we're oftentimes, because of sometimes the delay in getting cases from the state, because there's so many cases, the school may be notified by a parent prior to us getting it on our electronic system. So it's a matter of the principals and the teachers being involved and the school nurses being involved and the superintendent and the assistant superintendent. They're all in this calling families, telling people who have to quarantine, helping us with our case investigation, because we would not be able, you know, our focus, yes, we want to keep the schools safe, but we have the whole city to look at, and so we can't just focus on the schools. So Quincy Public Schools is very active in helping us to do the case investigations and the contact tracing. We couldn't do it without them. And even with them, it's a challenge right now. It's a challenge to make sure we're getting everybody.
How are the businesses in the city doing with regards to the protocols? I know there was just a suspension issued to one place for violating the rules. Is that the norm, or was that the exception?
That was the exception. We have seen issues where an employee might get get tested positive. We've had great cooperation from most of the restaurants and the food food establishments, where if an employee is positive, they'll let us know. Even retail establishments, they're really good about letting us know. There are some that don't know they're supposed to let us know, try to just do it on their own, don't want to let anybody know. So we always have those, people that we have to say, you really should have called us. We're supposed to help you with this. And we have seen cases in restaurants, and, you've seen us, put some information out for certain restaurants that we don't know who might have been in contact with that employee. So we make it public so that people can get tested if they feel they need to get tested. But I would say, for the most part, the cooperation from retail establishments and restaurants has been good, and they will voluntarily do what they need to do. The one establishment that you're talking about that we suspended, we've had multiple problems with. But that's not the norm. Most of our establishments are doing much better than that.
That's good news for sure.
Yeah.
It's to their benefit as well, to follow the rules. Yeah,
absolutely. They don't want their staff sick. If you're not following the guidelines by not following, the mask order or the gatherings or the occupancy order or the sector specific restaurant guidelines, if you're not following that, not only will you help to spread it in the community, but you could spread it through your entire staff, and it could close you down just for that. So it's to everybody's benefit to do what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I know there was hope to have the outdoor winter market, but unfortunately that looks like it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I think it's, we hate to put a damper on Christmas. And obviously we're very supportive of our retail establishments, and it's been a tough year for anybody in retail, whether it be just regular retail or restaurants. But to have large amount of people and try to do crowd control in that type of setting and follow, the guidelines, the event guidelines and the gatherings guidelines, it would be very difficult. And now is not the time to have a lot of people together, even outside. Right. It's not the time.
Yeah, it's just people have to, I think, just come to the realization that it's not a normal year. It's just not a normal year. Yeah.
It is not a normal year. We are not out of the woods yet. We still have to stay vigilant. Trust me, we're all tired. We're as tired as everybody trying to follow these guidelines. And I know they change a lot. And we try our best to keep everybody abreast of the new guidelines that come out sometimes on a weekly basis. This is a changing situation. We could very easily go into the red if we see a spike after Thanksgiving, if people don't do what they do. And that could mean changes. If you're 3 weeks in the red, the state forces you to cut back on certain things, go back a phase. So we need to all keep it up and keep doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, think back to the spring, and you had to wait in line to get into the grocery store even, because of the low occupancy limits. So that could certainly come back.
We're already seeing, store shelves, around the country empty again. People are panicking. We went from everything closed down to having a little bit of freedom and doing really well with that. This is not hard stuff to do, people. Wearing a mask and keeping 6 feet away from people is not difficult. It's a matter of just doing it. And we know we can do it and we know it works. It's just a matter of look at, do it. Let's help to get the numbers down. You know, hopefully a vaccine will be available at some point and we'll be out of this and as back to normal as we can. But doing what people are doing now, we're not going to get there at this rate.
Are you encouraged about the news of the vaccines that just come out recently?
I am encouraged, but I am, I haven't seen any studies, let's put it that way. I think that the information has to, the safety and the efficacy, you know, they're saying that these vaccines are 95 to 99% effective, and that's wonderful because that's very difficult to attain in a vaccine. I have not seen any studies. They have not released anything. I believe that all this information is being released to the FDA. I believe that takes weeks for the FDA to go through that before they get an emergency, an emergency use on the vaccine. I think people need to be aware that it's not going to be immediate. There are certain, when all this emergency use comes through, there are logistics that have to be figured out. One of the companies, Pfizer's vaccine, has to be frozen at very, very low temperatures, which, most health departments even pharmacies, I would venture to say, don't have freezers that would hold it at that level. My understanding, and again, we haven't been given a lot of information on the vaccines. My understanding is Moderna's doesn't have to be at that low of a temperature. I think Pfizer's has to be reconstituted. So that reconstituted means you get a powder and then you get a diluent and you have to draw up the diluent. Once you thaw now the powder, because it's a frozen vaccine, you thaw it. It can only be thawed for a certain amount of time. You can't leave it thawed forever. You have to mix it with the diluent and then you have to shake it and then you get a vaccine that you can then draw up. That's time consuming to give vaccines like that. My understanding is Pfizer's is different. So I think there's still a lot to be looked at. And I'm encouraged that we're at this point. And I think, by next year, hopefully by spring, we'll be seeing more widespread vaccination. I don't know where they'll start. Will they start with, healthcare workers and essential personnel? But I think the logistics of even delivering frozen vaccine in trucks and airplanes and those type of things still have to be worked out. And the emergency use by the FDA has to be worked out. I'd really like to see the studies so that I can make a decision for myself whether I think it's a vaccine that I would get myself.
Okay, good. That's good to know. Speaking of vaccines, can we talk a little bit about the flu?
Yes. So we are coming on flu season. There's controversy, as this year about flu vaccine that's mandated by the State Department of Public Health for students, for all kids going into school, whether they're remote, are mandated to have flu vaccine. And every year, and even in a normal year, we see, the controversy about vaccines and parents who don't want their kids to have vaccines and parents who are pro-vaccine. We see it all the time. This is the first year that flu vaccine has been mandated. So obviously there's more controversy this year. I think schools are trying to work it out. And I think we're seeing a good portion of people getting vaccinated, but we will always have those naysayers that say that, flu vaccine doesn't work. I got the flu when I got the vaccine, which is impossible. We'll see. It's really a good year to get your flu vaccine. And the reason being is because the symptoms of influenza and the symptoms, signs and symptoms of COVID are very similar. So if you get your flu vaccine, even though it's not a vaccine that usually is 90% effective, flu vaccine effectiveness is usually lower than that. Whatever effectiveness you get from a vaccine is going to help you. I don't care if the flu vaccine is only 30% effective. in the strains, that's 30% more protection you have without the vaccine. So I think it's really important for everybody to get their flu shot this year. I think it's going to be a difficult year to try to, for doctors and clinics and even schools to try to ascertain if the symptoms somebody has are influenza or COVID, because they're the same almost. So if we can avoid a lot of flu cases, then I think it's going to be easier to manage COVID-19 cases. And I also think that, you know, if somebody has the flu, their immune system is going to be compromised just from being sick, trying to fight the flu. And then that's going to make them a little bit higher at risk because their immune system's compromised and they don't have extra protection against COVID. So I think it's really important this year.
Okay. Any indication yet as to how the flu season might look this year?
Not yet. It's too early. Yeah, we typically don't see our most influenza cases around this time, around this area, till late December into January, all the way through April. We see flu cases here. So we're not quite into it yet. And I really haven't seen any indication of cases starting here yet.
Okay, so it's still, you still have time to get your shot.
Absolutely, the perfect time. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Anything else we should touch on right now, do you think, Ruth?
I think we hit it all for this morning, Joe. Yeah, I think, you know, just I can't stress enough that people should not let their guard down. Wear your mask. I hate them too. I don't like wearing the masks either. But wear your mask and social distance. Wash your hands. Stay out of crowds. Not that difficult to do.
It's so easy and so hard at the
Absolutely.
Same
time. Absolutely. Perfect statement. Perfect statement.
Folks who have questions or concerns, how do they reach out?
Yeah, they can call the Quincy Health Department. The main line is probably the best line to get us at. 617-376, either 1273 or 1274. And that's our main lines in the front office, and they can, the secretaries can, you know, direct to whoever you need to talk to. Also emailing us, especially on the weekends, where we're not in the office, usually on the weekends, emailing. If you go on the City of Quincy website, www.quincyma.gov, go to the health department. All our emails are there, and I check my email always, every day, 24/7, so you can always email us.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Ruth. Great to talk to you.
You too, Joe. Have a nice Thanksgiving if I don't speak with you.
Thank you. Same to
you. All right. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.